How's everybody doing today? We got plenty of room in here, can't we? We can stretch out and yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do? It's that time of year. So we see our numbers dwindle. I just pray that they're somewhere else this morning in church. Praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you do in our lives, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your love. Lord, we just pray that you'd open up your word for us today and just help us to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's faithfulness. Is God faithful? Has he ever let you down? No. Sometimes we don't always understand what he does. But he's there. He's there. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9 was our opening scripture. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. I've got a whole lot of scripture this morning. As John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. We're going to kind of do that, I think. Never hurts, does it? Scripture is always the best interpreter of Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Psalm 89:8. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, Lord, like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Round about thee. His faithfulness surrounds him. It permeates from every part of his being. Isaiah 11:5. This is speaking about Jesus. This is speaking about when the Word became flesh. It says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. That's literally kidneys. That's the seat of his emotions. Psalm 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. It's far above anything we can comprehend, isn't it? Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We find many examples of God's faithfulness throughout the Bible. Genesis 8:22, we saw that verse greeting us this morning as we walked in the door. While the earth remained, the seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Things continue, don't they? Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So if someone asks you what's new, you can say God's mercies. They're new every morning, right? Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And Deuteronomy 7:9, I've read this once before. I'm going to read it again. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God. This characteristic is essential to His being. Without it, He wouldn't be God. For God to be unfaithful would be contrary to His nature, wouldn't it? Which would be impossible. God's faithfulness. Like I said, I have a lot of scripture for you this morning. Genesis 15:13-16. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now we know that they were there for 430 years, but they weren't afflicted for 430 years. We need to keep that in mind. The first 30 years, they were guests, which should tell us that we shouldn't stay at someone's house too long, right? And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And in Exodus 12:41 we see that happening. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, the very day it was supposed to happen, guess what? It happened. Is God ever late? God's always on time. The selfsame day it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Daniel 9:25-26. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Those are weeks of years. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. That was a prediction about when Messiah would come. And exactly to the day, we read in Luke 19:41-42. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. God was right on time, wasn't he? Does God keep His promises? Acts 12:1-6. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. I don't really think that's supposed to be Easter, but that's... I don't think they're celebrating Easter back then. There's no bunny rabbits and around there, I don't think. Anyway, it goes on. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And that's what the church is supposed to do, isn't it? And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. He's going to have his head cut off the next day. That was the plan. And what was Peter doing? He was sleeping. Would you be sleeping if you thought that awaited you? Said the angel came in and had to literally hit him to wake him up. He was sleeping that sound. Peaceful sleep. But he knew. He knew what he'd been told, and he believed what he'd been told. In John 21:18 through 19, verily, verily, I say unto thee, this is the Lord speaking to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. He's telling him how he's going to die. He's saying, when you're old, you're going to be crucified. You're going to follow me to the cross. And he did. So here's Peter sitting in prison. They're talking about cutting his head off, and he says, well, that isn't what Jesus told me. For one thing, I'm not old yet. For another thing, that's not crucifixion, so I'm going to go to sleep. That's trusting in God's word, isn't it? Acts 28, 3 through 5. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, this is after the shipwreck, and they landed on the Isle of Malta. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. He just looked at it and said, oh, well, this is an inconvenience, and just shook it into the fire. Should have killed him, right? That's what venomous snakes do. That's what they were expecting. But Paul knew something. Back in Acts 23:11, it says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. He wasn't at Rome yet. Can we take the things that God says literally? I try to whenever it works. You know, that's when God makes a promise, he means it. He keeps his promises. Joshua 21:43-45. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to them to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Joshua 23:14, this is Joshua speaking before he died. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. 1 Kings 8:56, Solomon is dedicating the temple. He said, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. This is about 500 years after Moses. Well, 450 years after Joshua said almost the exact same words. It was still true. Is it still true today? He told Ezekiel, he had Ezekiel do a lot of weird things. Ezekiel is a strange book to read. But a lot of it, most of it, was signs for the people. Because he didn't just speak the words to the people. Actually, for a while there, he couldn't even speak. The only thing he could do was just do what God told him, you know, cut his hair off and shave his beard off and throw it up in the air and let it be scattered, and a lot of different things. But he told Ezekiel in chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. He's telling him to lay on his left side for 390 days. That doesn't mean continuously. That meant when he slept. That's what I believe anyway, that when he slept, he had to lay on his left side for 390 days. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah for 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Now, if you add that up, that comes to 430 years. Now, we've heard that before, haven't we? God's consistent. But he's also merciful. What he's saying is that the children of Israel were going to go into captivity, and he sentenced them to 430 years in captivity. But like I said, he's merciful. In Jeremiah 29:10, it says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place." Jeremiah 29:11-12 confirms this. "This whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity. And the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations." 70 years. Everybody know what a suspended sentence is? That's when part of the sentence is suspended. That doesn't mean it's canceled. It means it's suspended. And that's important to remember. Daniel confirmed the 70 years. In Daniel 9:2, it says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." Daniel read that, he knew that, he heard that, and he started praying. 70 years was up. That means that God was going to allow the people to go back out of captivity, back to the land of Israel. And it happened. So I don't know how many people were in captivity at that time, but I believe there was an awful lot. In Ezra 2:64, it says, "The whole congregation together, those that went back, was 42,303 score. 42,360. That's really not a lot of people compared. That's a small percentage of what went back. How do you think God felt about that? In Leviticus 26:18, God told Moses to tell the people, If ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins." So what that means is he's going to take that remaining time and he's going to multiply it by 70 years, or by 7 times. They went back 1 Nisan 536 BC. So if you take the 430 years originally and you deduct the 70 that they served in captivity, it comes out to 360. If you multiply that by 7, in the Hebrew calendar, with just 360 days, it comes out to 2,520 years. In our calendar, it comes out to 2,483.8 years more that they're going to serve in captivity. There was no year zero. So if you add it up, it comes out to May 15th, 1948. God's always on time, isn't he? Is he going to keep his promises to us? That's what he does. That's who he is. He can't not keep his promises to us and, as I said, be God. That would be denying himself. He's faithful. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He made the promise before we were. He made plans for us to be in heaven, to have eternal life, before we even were. That's the way God works. Before there's a problem, He has a solution. Trust Him. Believe Him. Believe His promises. The Bible's full of promises that He made for His people. Life and life abundantly. Joy and unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that surpasses all understanding. We have that now. Don't we? Because God promised it. So we have it. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for Your promises. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. We thank You, Lord, that all You said is true. As John 17:17 says, Thy word is truth. Truth. Lord, fulfill Your promises as we believe You will. And Lord, we look forward to everything that we're going to receive from You. But Lord, more than that, we look forward to eternity spent in heaven in Your presence with You. Lord, bless Your people this morning. Keep us close to You. Increase our faith. Increase our love. Increase Your presence in us. Your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, we need it. As times are getting darker and darker, Lord, we need it. We need more of You. Because we need more light to shine. The darker it gets, the more light we need. And Lord, I pray that everybody that sees us will know that we are Yours. We shouldn't have to speak a word, Lord. Help us to speak words, Lord. But they should know. And that's what we want, Lord. Because we are Yours. We love You, Lord. We love You. Lord, go with Your people today and guide our steps, Lord, and protect us, please, and just keep us close to You and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.